love that's been pouring out on all flesh, and we thank you for it tonight. What a mighty God you are. What a mighty God you are, Father. We're just standing off at your presence tonight, and we say we're thankful tonight. Would you just tell the Holy Spirit thank you tonight for being in the midst of us tonight? In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Would you one more time? Come on, give him a praise in the house.
Amen. Amen. Well, before you're seated, look at someone, say hi, air high five, all that good stuff. If you're watching at home, let's hear where you're watching from. Say hi to someone in the comments. Let's do all that good stuff. Well, I just want to read out of Psalm 119. It was part of our Bible reading plan today for those of you that are reading it. I know a lot of you are ahead, but I'm like right on the same day. So so for me, it was Psalm 119. And it's a very long psalm. And if you read through it, there's sections of prayers almost that David wrote. And this section just really stuck out to me today. It says, "Teach me your decrees, O Lord. I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all of my heart. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where happiness is found. Give me an eagerness for your laws rather than a love for money. Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. Reassure me of your promise made to those who fear you." And I just love that. It says, "Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where happiness is found." And when I read that, I thought about the pursuit of happiness, which is a saying that is part of our Declaration of Independence, right? Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, which means it's ingrained in us to go after finding joy, finding that happiness, as long as it's legal to do, to keep trying to find that happiness, right? And so what I found just by living my life is that when we do those things without putting God first, when people pursue the things of this world, let's say they try to make all the money that they can, they try to get the best job, they try to wear the nicest clothes, the biggest house, the fanciest car, the best friends that they could ever find. Well, all those things are not bad things, but when you pursue those things and don't have God in your life, then there's still that hole that people have. And that's why you see some even famous people say, "I've tried all this stuff, but I still feel an emptiness inside of me." It's because they don't have Jesus living in them. And so if we truly want to be happy, if we truly want to have that pursuit of happiness, we need to have Jesus as the center of everything that we do. And that's where true happiness, that's where true contentment is when we put him first, when he's the center of it all. And that's when we'll truly find that joy, that peace, that happiness that is talked about all throughout his word. And so I just want to encourage you that maybe you're going after something that we don't need to be pursuing right now. When you pursue God, he'll bring you what you need. That's why the Bible says that to delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? That's why he says that. So let's delight in him. Let's pursue him, and then the joy and the happiness will be found. On that, let's give to God tonight. Let's put him first in our finances. You can text the City Church NY to the number 77977. You can download the PushPay app on your phone and give that way. You can go online and give right online at thecitychurch.com. Or if you're in-house tonight, you can grab an envelope, or you can also just put cash or a check. There's two mailboxes back there, and you can put the offering right in the back as you walk out. It's good to be in God's house. Are you expecting tonight? Amen. Pastor Ryan.
Hey, come on. Give Pastor Aaron a hand tonight. Aren't you happy to have her? Aren't you thankful for her tonight? Say amen. Amen. I wanted to share with you real quickly. I'm taking a course at the chapel, and one of the books that was assigned to read, it's called Sacred Pathways, and it's written by Gary Thomas. And I want to just briefly, I want to read a short summary. It says, "Sacred Pathway unfolds 9 distinct spiritual temperaments." How many of you know you have temperaments? Some of you have more than others. Amen. No, I'm just teasing. Their traits, strength, and pitfalls. How many of you know that your strengths and your pitfalls can run in the same lane? Oftentimes, the things that the Holy Spirit has given us as power, anointing, gifting, often can become our greatest shortcomings. Whatever temperament or blend of temperaments best describes you, rest assured it is not by accident. Did you know God made you the way He made you for a reason? Man, that's so settling to me. That even though a person could say, man, I can't stand that about him or her or this one or that one. I can't stand that about that kid. I can't stand that about that individual. That God made you the way you are for a reason. Man, that's powerful. Rest assured it's not by accident. It's by the design or of a creator who knew what he was doing when he made you according to his own unique intentions. Gary Thomas, Sacred Pathways, Dr. Jerry Gillis assigned that to me to read. Samantha and I actually read it together. Fantastic book. You say, Ryan, why do you share that book tonight? Here's why I share it. In the body of Christ, since I was just a boy, you begin to notice differences in people. The way they walk, the way they talk, the way they think, the way they process. And oftentimes we begin to draw lines. We begin to draw conclusions. We begin to draw distinctions based on the way God made people. I want to just say this to you tonight. This was very eye-opening. This book was very eye-opening to me because there were certain things, okay, that even as a PK, even around the church, even knowing better, there are certain things that really bothered me about certain people. Like when a person, I'll give you one example and then I'm not going to give you any more. Like when a person walks out in the woods and they feel God's presence more than they feel it in a room like this. I used to think, you are off your rocking chair, honey. But the truth of the matter is, there are distinctions that God puts in us for a particular reason, for a particular ministry. And I just want to say tonight that if you have an issue with someone because of the way they minister, maybe the way they interact, maybe the way they look, I want to just encourage you tonight that God made people the way He made them for a purpose, for a reason, and God has something very specific for you. And just because you don't act like, look like, talk like, communicate like everybody else, it's okay. We love you. We want to embrace you here at City Church in St. Anthony's, and we want to see your spiritual gifts flourish in the house of the Lord. Is that okay for me to say tonight? And that book really, really has helped me. And I'm going to tell you, that book for me, it took me a minute in each chapter to wrap my brain around it. But at the end of it, I feel like we walked away brighter. I feel like we walked away enlightened by the Holy Spirit on spiritual differences, because there's a lot of line drawing right now, and we just don't need it. Amen. We need to love each other. Tonight, what you're going to see is my grandfather, first of all. Grandpa said to me, he said, yeah, somebody walked up to me a few weeks ago and said, now, how are you his grandfather? Let me tell you how he's my grandfather. My grandfather passed away. Samantha and I will be married 16 years this year. So 16 years ago, my grandfather passed away. The funeral was right in this room. And Grandpa, let me say this, too, while I'm thinking about funerals. Sterling Stroman's funeral will be here tomorrow morning, 11 to 1 o'clock. The service will be exactly at 1 o'clock. My dad will be facilitating that. Please come. Great members of the church here, great friends, great family. Come and honor Sterling with us. But my grandfather, after my biological grandfather passed, Grandpa Chuck walked up to me and he said to me, I know that I can't fill the shoes of your biological Grandpa Andy, but I want to be a grandfather in your life. And I'm going to tell you, he's a teacher in the house of the Lord. Many of you have flourished under his teaching and under his leadership. I'm personally, as a son to this house, I'm very thankful to have had not only he, but Pastor Linda, who's like a grandma to me. I want you to do me personally a favor tonight and give honor where honor's due. Would you stand tonight and welcome my grandfather, Chuck Wood, tonight?
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for people that come out and seek the Lord. And Father, I pray that the word of the Lord will go for us tonight. Open our eyes, our ears, and bless your servant. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Now, I want to talk a little bit tonight about the authority of the believer, especially the authority of the believer in your own home. Now, to start out with, in John 14:12, now to start out with, Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the works I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And Ephesians 6:12 said, however, in dealing with the works of the devil, works of the Lord, we're going to run into the works of the devil. We're going to run into smack dab into old Satan. I promise you, he knows who you are. And just because you have taken and decided you'll follow Jesus and slapped him in the face and decided you're not going to follow him anymore and you have given him an insult, he's got a target on you and I that's big enough for anybody that they can see it without glasses. So the word of the Lord teaches us that really those spirits are fallen angels. They have been dethroned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, understand this point. Our enemy is, yes, yes, he is formidable, but Jesus has pulled his teeth in his death, burial, and resurrection, in his resurrection at Calvary. Now, I always make this statement, even though Jesus has pulled his teeth, if you let him, he'll gum you to death. Because he's gummed to death thousands of poor Christians that didn't know their authority, didn't know how to back him off, didn't know how to run him out of their life. Now, I want to mention that evil spirits, I hate to mention evil spirits. I really do, because the church gets off on, they'll get off on one side of the road or the other. We never seem to stay balanced. They're either so afraid of the devil that they're after a service, they're looking under his bed, under their bed to see if he's there. Or some of them get so wild-eyed and bushy-tailed that they run off and they're trying to cast the devil out of everybody in the world. And listen, there's not that many people that are they're demon-inspired. They're demon-possessed. Now, there's a lot of people that are demon-inspired because they don't belong to Jesus. Jesus said, through the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit said, that Satan is the principalities of the air. Now, when Adam messed up and committed high treason, he took the authority that he had, and it went over to Satan. Satan has got a right to be here. Now, his authority is about ready to run out, but he has authority to be here. But he doesn't have the authority over us unless we give it to him. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Satan has authority to be in this world. He is the god of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is the authority over his people that are not born again, but he doesn't have authority over us unless we give it to him. Don't give it to him. Don't give it to him. We have all the promises of God, and I'm going to read them, how to resist the devil, how to rebuke the devil, and how to put the devil on and run. You notice that Jesus, when he was 40 days, he had been fasting, and when the human body was down, Satan come at him. But did you notice that Jesus hit him three times with the word of God? He said, it is written. It is written, it is written. And Satan had business elsewhere. He had business. I remember Dr. Cho told that story. Dr. Cho's got that 5,000 member church in Moore. Holy cow. Well, he's sure enough got a lot of people. And he was ministering in Japan. And Dr. Cho said, when I looked up, I was in my hotel room, and he said, I looked up, and there was old Satan standing right between me and the door. See, the devil's not stupid. He's defeated, but he's not stupid. And Dr. Cho said, a bolt of fear went through me. He said, oh, my Lord, there is a prince of power of the air. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, now, the Holy Spirit speaks to you very quietly a lot of times. Even when you're all shook up, he comes in very quietly because he knows the answer to the questions. And he said, if you don't back him down, if you don't run him off, you'll never be able to minister to these Japanese people. Now, run him off. And Dr. Cho said, I went to the Word of God, and he said, I hit him three times with the Scriptures, and he said, the devil turned and run. See, he's a defeated foe. He'll come in huffing and puffing in your life, and he'll come in making all kinds of, oh, it'll look like everything has gone to pieces, and you can't make it. You can't make it. Yes, you can make it. You know why? Jesus said you could. And if Jesus said you could, you can. Now, these new glasses, please forgive me, because I like this with them. There was a, you know, when you talk about, this is kind of funny. When you talk about the authority of the believer, a lot of Christians don't even know they have that authority. I never heard it preached much all the years until later in my lifetime. Because we had an idea that you had to go through life and get along and live on barely get along street right down the end of Grumble Alley. And we used to sing songs, if I can just make it through to the other side, you know. And they were saying, you got to be, what the connotation was, you got to be poor, you got to just make it through life, and the devil's going to pound you. And if you make it through, you get over on the other side, and praise God, we're happy when we're on the other side. I won't be happy on this side. And I want my friends and my church family and my brothers and sisters in the Lord to walk in the newness of life that Jesus said we could have. Now, in World War II, General Rommel, with the German army, were going through France. And they were going through them like a hot knife through butter. So this poor old French woman come out. She was a peasant woman. And she said, are you our brave French soldiers? Now, unfortunately, she was talking. She ran into General Rommel, the head of the German army. She couldn't have picked the worst person to talk to. She said, are you one of our brave French soldiers? He says, no, madam, I'm one of the hated Germans. And she threw her apron over the head, ran in the house screaming. Wonderful idea. That'll run the devil off every time. And that's how our Christians are a lot of times. We you know, when the women used to wear these way long, long petticoats and dress, they'd throw their head over, their dress over their head and run screaming. This actually happened. This was, I guess it was an idea. I don't know. It never worked, but it was an idea. Now, we're delivered from the bondage of death, and we walk in the newness of life. Most people, especially the children of God, don't know their authority in Christ Jesus, and they don't know how to enjoy the blessings in their lives down here. Let's look at Romans 5:17. Now, let's look what the Holy Spirit said to the Apostle Paul about reigning in life through Christ Jesus. Now, I talked to you about, I just previously said when I grew up in the church that, you know, we had that starved to death mentality. And but Paul wrote to the church, writing to the Romans, and said this. Now, we're talking about Jesus giving us the victory and living on the victory side. So Paul, writing to the Romans, said, for if one man's offense, that is to say, spiritual death reigned by one, in other words, it came in by Adam, much more are they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, that's a far cry what I was taught when I was growing up. Now, we had, I've done two very, very good Great American Garage Sales. And I prayed and I worked hard, and you know what? And God blessed me. Now, when you make money, God doesn't mind if you make money and you have money. He worries if money have you. So the first fruits of that, the tenth of that, I said to Linda, put it right into the work of the Lord. Let it go right into the work of the Lord. Now, if you make more money and you want to make money for the fact that I can give more into the work of the Lord, I can get people saved, Jesus, I can bring Jesus back quicker, that's the Lord's going to bless you. I remember Pastor Marty said, I don't know how long ago he said it, but it was the prostitutes over in Africa, and if you bought them a sewing machine for $40, that they could wouldn't have to do that anymore, and they could have a sewing machine. So I said to Linda, well, let's cough up an offering for Jesus. Let's help somebody. And we gave the money, and I went around patting myself on the back. I felt so good about giving that money. And, you know, in the old days, the big joke was when the pastor would take the offering and count the money, it was all wet. It was tears, and he used to have to pull it out one by one and dry it out because people were, God, give it to the Lord. Now, let me get here, and I just want to take and stop preaching and start meddling in your business. Get the car running, honey. Here's how a preacher told me to give to the Lord. He said, when you take that money out of your pocket, you hold it up and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm giving this into the kingdom of God. Lord, I want to 30, 60, 90, 100-fold return. Lord, let it save somebody's soul. Lord, let somebody profit from this. Lord, I'm giving it into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, and Lord, this is yours, and praise God for it. That's what you should do. But, you know, we never were taught that. We were never taught that. We were never taught that. And it's the simplest thing and the best thing in the world to give. Because the more you give to Jesus, the more you give to Jesus, the more you'll get. I'm not doing it for the more you get. I want somebody up in glory to come up to me and say, are you Chuck Wood? Yeah, well, yeah, it was last time I looked. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Chuck, the Lord told me that you gave some money, and that was a preacher, gave it to a preacher, and a preacher was able to preach the gospel, and I got saved because of your offering. Now, man, I'm going to go around heaven going, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. If you see somebody dancing down the street, that's going to be yours truly. Now, I want to give you, oh boy, where's the time going? I want to give you some scripture about running the devil out of your life. Okay? If you look in Ephesians 1, okay, what's that now?
Tell everybody things that they do that let him in before you tell them how to get rid of them. Let's take a couple of minutes.
Oh, boy. Yeah, like my buddy said, I studied sin close up so I could tell everybody how bad it was. Well, we can always start with the lust of the flesh, and that's a good way to start. And then we can go by with this thing again, like I just talked about, the love of money. A man could love money and not have a crying dime in his pocket. And then there's gossip. Oh, yes. Dear me, there's gossip. It was like the story that they told me about the three men that were on the, there were three preachers. There was a Catholic priest, a Protestant minister, and a Jewish rabbi. And so they all decided to confess their sins one to another, pray that you may be healed and forgiven. So the priest says, well, I like to look at the ladies too much. I shouldn't. God forgive me. And the rabbi said, oh, I love ham. I love ham and pork. It's so good. I love it. And they looked at the minister and they said, what's your sin? He said, gossip, and I can't wait to get off the train. Now, gossip in the church has destroyed more churches than you can believe. There was one church, a preacher told me about it. I was listening to his sermon, and he said, and the Holy Spirit said to tell the pastor, if you people don't straighten up and stop talking and stop fighting, I think it wasn't a year this church is going to be closed. And it was closed. It was closed up tighter than a drum. But you understand, James said about the tongue. He said what it is, it's just a little thing, but it's set on fire, the fires of hell, and you can burn down a whole forest, and you can ruin a whole church. And you know, I have found out one thing. I like to preach faith. I like to talk about faith. I believe it. But you know what makes faith work? The love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. There was one young guy that, I'll drop some names, went to Rhema Bible Institute, and his pastor said, well, he said, I don't go along with all that faith business. So when he came back, he said to the young guy, well, I guess you learned all about faith, huh? And he says, no, pastor, I didn't. He said, I learned about love, the love of Jesus. It shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the pastor said, I just broke down and I cried. So in fact, we wept together. We wept together. The love of Jesus is what constrains us. And anyways, those are some of the things that, that gives us, it's a wedge that, I'll get it in a minute, that's a wedge that comes in to the church and ruins people. I wouldn't care if somebody said they shot my grandma. I shot my grandma. I'm not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, but I finally found out just to walk in love and let it go. Let it go. Walk in love. Because if you walk in the love of Jesus, you're good, on the good side of Jesus, and you're doing what he told you to do, and you're a good and faithful servant. You know what? When I get to heaven, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of the Lord. I don't want to hear, okay, Chuck, you made it. Enter in my peace. That's going to be a kick in the stomach if I hear that, and I don't want to hear it. I want to do everything I can. And I make mistakes. Pray for me that I'll be healed, you know. I'm a human being. But I'll tell you what, when I make mistakes, I'm getting smart enough to go right to Jesus and ask him to forgive me. I'm getting smart. And you know what? I stayed out of a lot of trouble since then. That's kept me out of a lot of trouble. Now, power over the devil. Let's look at Ephesians 4:27. Paul said, neither give place to the devil. James 4:7, James the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ said, resist the devil and he will flee. Mark 16:16-18, Jesus said, in my name you'll cast the devil off. And Luke 10:19 said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing else will hurt you. That establishes that believers have authority on earth to combat the works of old Satan. Matthew 28, you know, when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose from the dead and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Well, that's good. Jesus, all power is given thee on heaven and earth. And he turned right around in Mark the 16th chapter and designated that power to the church and said, in my name, you'll cast out the devil and you'll run him off. Now, faith in God. You remember Paul in Lystra? Paul preached at there in Lystra, Paul preached the gospel. And a man saw the gospel, saw that Paul saw that he believed, and he jumped up. And Paul said that faith in Jesus' name has made this man walk. It's faith in the name of Jesus that makes the gospel walk. What is faith? It's merely just believing that Jesus said what he'll do, he'll do. And believing it and go along with it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I got $1,000. Well, I ain't got $1,000, but I could go out and buy it, borrow it from the bank. I got good credit. I'll give anybody here $1,000 if they can find in the New Testament where Jesus said or God said to pray to do anything against the devil. You don't pray. I'm going to say that again. I'll give you $1,000 if you can find in the New Testament where Jesus said to pray to him or God the Father, and they'll do something about the devil. In the Great Commission, Mark 16:16, Jesus said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel, and in my name you'll cast out the devil. Now, I've had some bright people say, well, the Lord don't need me. Well, excuse me. Jesus said in Mark 16th chapter, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say, I'm going to preach the gospel. He said, you're going to preach the gospel. And you know, when you talk about the armor of God, the armor of God, your shoes are your feet are shed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You and I and everybody, it's just not the pastors. Look, it's just not the pastors that preach the gospel. Remember in the New Testament, the Bible, when Jesus had told, risen from the dead, told everybody to go and preach the gospel, and for 60 years they had a blessed society in Jerusalem, and so the Lord allowed the Roman government to come in and start persecuting them, and that spread the church all over the then known world. And when you remember what they said? They that have turned the world upside down has come here hither. It wasn't the preachers that did it. It was the people that had the word of God in their hearts that went from all over and was spreading the word of God. You are God's hands, eyes, feet, and mouth. And so am I. Now, sometimes I don't do as good a job at it as I should, but I'm getting better. I'm getting better. But my sin, I confess to you. Now, we got 5 more minutes. I want to get this point about the whole armor of God. Now, first of all, there's a girdle of truth, which represents a clear understanding of God's word, like a soldier's belt that holds the rest of his armor in place. Second is a breast brace of righteousness. This has a twofold application. Jesus is our righteousness, and we put him first. Also, it also shows our obedience to the word of God. Now, three, our feet are shed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is a faithful ministry proclaiming the word of God, and that's just what those people did. Fourth is a shield of faith. A shield is a covering for the whole body that represents our complete safety under the blood of the Jesus, which no power of the enemy can penetrate. Now, there was a, real quick, and I'll get to the last two, there was a preacher years ago that was preaching in the backwoods of the United States somewhere, and there was a guy that was demon-possessed. And I mean, this dude was demon-possessed. He wasn't demon-possessed. He was demon-possessed. And the preacher's wife was home one night, and she said something, I don't know what it was walking around the house, and it wasn't human, and it wasn't an animal. She said it was pretty horrible to look at. But she said, we started pleading the blood of Jesus. And we pleaded the blood of Jesus. And she said that thing walked around and around and around and around till finally it got tired and walked off because it couldn't walk past the blood of Jesus. What a wonderful thought that is. Oh, I'll tell you, we got more authority, folks, than we know. We've got more than we ever dreamed of. And then we go to, we talked about the shield of faith. Now, fifth, it's a helmet of salvation, also referred to in 1 Thessalonians 5:8 as a hope of salvation. The hope of salvation is the only helmet able to protect the head in these days from turning from the truth. And you got all kinds of crazy things, and it seems every week that there's a new crazy religion popping up. But, you know, let them go. I'm going to stick with Jesus. My feet are on the rock, as the old preacher said, and that's where they're going to stay. Now, 6 is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This shows that the Word of God is to be used offensively. Other parts of the armor are mainly defensive, but the sword, the Word of God, is an active weapon. Now, dressed in the armor of God, you're prepared to stand any attack of the enemy. And not only attack of the enemy, you got the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, that you can go and stick it right in his face and let him know that you're not going to be run, that he's not going to run your life. There was and real quick, there was a preacher that prayed for his brother for 2 years, and he got worse. And he couldn't get him saved. Couldn't get him saved. About every bad thing he did, he did. And was proud of it. Principal person in the Sinners of America. I think he was the leader of it. But one day the Spirit of the Lord said to him, "Why don't you break the power of the devil over your brother?" What a novel thought. And he said, "I took my Bible in my hand and I raised it to heaven and I said, 'In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Satan, I break your power over my brother and I claim his salvation in Jesus' name.'" In 2 weeks he was saved. He'd been praying for him for 10 years and nothing happened. You see, when we take the Word of God, we take the sword of the Spirit and we use it, we're going to get all kinds of results. I told a girl to use this one time, and it worked so quick it scared me. It scared me. She come back and she told me, yeah. Her aunt wouldn't come to church. "I'll never come to church." And she broke the power of the devil over it. And the aunt says, "Okay, I'll come." And that scared me. Brother Ryan, when God's Word works that fast, sometimes it scares us. Now, I've said all that to say this. You got the name of Jesus. You got the Holy Spirit. You've got the Word of God. You've got prayer. You've got your pastors. You've got people, your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, if we can't make it with that, folks, we're never going to make it at all. And we got the whole Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And when the devil comes, say, "Mr. Devil, I got the whole armor of God and the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which liveth forever." You're dismissed. You may leave in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Aren't you thankful for Grandpa Chuck tonight? Come on, give him one more hand. Great, great word. I just want to say that as he ministers, he lives it out. And I'm so thankful to have almost 4 years ago. No, it's longer than that. 5 years ago, I came to Grandpa Chuck and I said, "Grandpa, I felt like the Lord, he's been pounding on me for the work of the ministry and I can't get away from it." And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, "You never will." And he said, I'm here for you and I support you and I love you. And I'll tell you what, at that moment, that meant everything to me. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Can we end with a song? Ray, will you come on up? Kai, why don't you come up here? A couple of the music team. Haven't you just had a great time in the house of the Lord tonight? Man, what a great night. Thank you, Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you know this song, there is freedom. A couple ladies want to sing with me? There you are. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Chuck, why don't you grab a mic? You've been off long enough. Let's put you to work tonight. Amen.
Oh, lift your eyes to heaven.
Come on, receive of the Holy Spirit tonight.
Oh, there is freedom. Oh, lift your eyes to heaven.
Father, we rebuke the enemy tonight, and we declare freedom in a mind, freedom in a dad, freedom in a mom, freedom in a child tonight. We rebuke the works of the enemy tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name for freedom. If that's your prayer, just say thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're so glad that you joined us tonight. Those that are on Facebook and YouTube and on our website, God bless you so much. This Sunday, I've spoken with the leadership. We're going to have a great weekend planned. 8:30, 10 a.m., and 12 noon. You don't want to miss it. Invite a friend. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. We love you, church family. Thank you for being here. Give the Lord one more hand.